Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome. We are here. The NBA Cup is finished. Gerard Hector is back. True Hoop and voiceover also. Voiceover actor, NBA voice. One of the best voices in NBA podcasting.
Appreciate that, man.
Gerard, you know that I've been interested in the NBA Cup. I know you're interested in the NBA Cup. We have a little bit of a different sensibility on it. I feel like the most people, the Bucks have won the NBA Cup this second year. And the game was a stinker, the final, unfortunately. Like, we're all very excited about it. They end up being the Oklahoma City Thunder, 97-81. Gerard, we're going to get into, like, just what makes the Cup work. Why doesn't it? Like, why hasn't it resonated widely? Mm-hmm. And you and I both, like, we follow sports on, like, a global level. Like, for example, your second most followed sport would be football, soccer, as people call it in the States. Mine would be boxing. Both of them are global sports. Both of them have, like, especially in soccer, tournaments that are international and things of that nature. In boxing, they've had, like, the Super Series, for example, that's been taking place mostly globally. And in basketball internationally, which we both follow, and we talked about this a lot during the summer, there are other leagues with NBA Cup-style tournaments, Super Cups, if you will. So we want to get into that a little bit. But first, we'll stick to this game, just a simple game, and there's not a lot here, but I mean, what are your biggest takeaways from Milwaukee just taking it to Oklahoma City and Oklahoma City just struggling offensively all night long?
Yeah, I mean, the story of the game is the Milwaukee Bucks were plus 36 from the three-point line. I mean, that's the game in a nutshell right there. If a team outscores you by 36 points from three, you are not going to win the game or be in it unless you are dominating them from the free throw line, which the Thunder were not, unless you were hitting a boatload of twos, which the Thunder also were not, right? I mean, they shot 33% overall in this game. They got out-rebounded. You know, it just wasn't a good shooting night for them. And look, some of that is credit to the Bucks' defense and their length, right? They played good defense. But some of it was also Thunder just making missing makeable shots, right? A lot of those shots were wide open. A lot of SGA shots. He was, I want to say, 8 of 25 or something from the field. A lot of the shots that he was missing are ones that he makes, right? It's just, look, sometimes it's not your night. And you tip your cap. You know, look, I will say the Bucks, the other thing I'll take away from this is the Bucks started the year poorly, 2-8. And many people, me included, were like, look, I wrote this team off. And look, and I'm not going to be here and say they're winning the NBA championship. I'm not going that far.
Right.
But they're playing better basketball than they were to start the season. I would still favor Boston in a series against them, best out of seven in the Eastern Conference. But Milwaukee has made a statement with winning this NBA Cup, and let's see now if it can buoy them throughout the rest of the season as they advance towards the postseason and ultimate goal of winning another championship, which they want to do.
Would still favor Boston, still like Cleveland. I would still say the Knicks and Milwaukee is – like, I have to think about that one.
Yeah, the Knicks worry me, but they're going to be injured and or dead tired coming home. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, Tibbs, you know, listen, it is what it is. So,
but the thing about this is, like, Milwaukee has been playing better defensively, and that's the thing that I've been worried about. Now, some of this is just the lackluster shooting, sure, from Oklahoma City, sure. But watching the game, like, Milwaukee actually was doing things defensively. Yeah. Like, they had an understanding, hey, Oklahoma City needs to shoot a bunch of threes in order to stay with this game. This is why Isaiah Joe is out here, for example. This is why they're trying to keep somebody on the perimeter. This is why, like, and all these different things. And Milwaukee was figuring out ways, like, to take away that three-point shot. Probably not as simple as just running them off the line, as a lot of people want to attribute it to, but there was some of that as well. And it did feel like Milwaukee, like, they defended, like, they stuck to their principles. They had an understanding of, like, hey, we're a three-point barrage away from giving up this lead. We're not going to do that. The defense has gotten up to 13th in defense now. I mean, the NBA championship formula is top 11 offense and top 11 defense. They're 11th in the NBA in offense and 13th in defense right now. Before we toss it to OKC, just, I mean, I do feel like they're figuring something out. I still don't think they're going to take out one of the top, or I guess Boston or potentially even Cleveland. I would favor Cleveland in the series between them for now.
Yeah.
But they do have the experience with Giannis. They do have Dame, who's had, like, some big games or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And it does feel like, hey, their front office has gotten aggressive. And if they do make a move, maybe they position themselves in a different way. And now we're in trade season. So
no doubt. Look, what the Bucks are missing to me is enough depth, right? Bobby Portis is fine. Pat Connaughton, man, I know Gary Trent Jr. is, like, doing whatever right now. But, you know, let's see how that lasts over the course of a full season into the postseason. You know, that's what worries me. But look, any team that has Giannis, Dame, and Chris Middleton as your three guys in the postseason who can help you get, I mean,
Middleton, who didn't play.
Right. That's a recipe for success. And look, this is a team that's won a championship. I don't want to poo-poo that. My thing is just like, look, I just don't know that, to your point, over the course of a full season and when the postseason gets here, are they going to beat Cleveland and Boston? Are they going to beat, you know, Orlando and Cleveland? Are they getting right? Like, this, I just think there are a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference who are younger, we're gonna have fresher legs, who also can guard, who are gonna present problems for them. And, you know, teams that also make moves. The Bucks are also limited cap wise what they could do with any kind of move right now, right? Whereas a team like Orlando, they can make a move. They get Paolo and Franz are back, they can make a move and get another scorer type person. With the defense they got, I might favor Orlando depending on who they got in any kind of free agency move to beat Milwaukee. So look, kudos to the Bucks again. Doc made a point. They said it. They wanted to win this thing from the jump.
Sure.
And they went out and they did it. Single elimination. Giannis played possessed like a man of the house on fire. I mean, you know, he's just tough to stop down there. Brooke Lopez hitting threes. I mean, the Bucks shot well from three. They are a good 3-point shooting team. You know, what it is.
Yeah, and they have some contracts to play with, as we talked about. Like, Bobby Portis is 12.5. I think Bobby Portis is better on this team than in a deal. But, like, I mean, that's one of the contracts that, unfortunately, you're going to be able to do something with, potentially, just because of the number that he's at. But I would try to keep Bobby Portis. He's turned it around after a slow start. Pat Connaughton is one that you should go shopping with. That's 9.4. Brooke Lopez is 23. I think he's another guy that they're probably going to keep, even though he's an expiring contract. And right now, if the playoffs started today, the Bucks would be the five. They'd be playing the Orlando Magic, who is the four seed. And that would be the first round series. And the winner of that would play, you know, Cleveland if they remain number one, or potentially Boston. So, I mean, that's what Milwaukee has to sort of gear up for. Although they can get to third and potentially play the Knicks. So, I mean, really jump over the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Let's hit OKC really quickly before we get into the macro stuff that we want to get to. Is this a worrisome performance for you? Let's just start there.
No, because in the single elimination game, in any one-off game, anybody can beat anybody, right? That's what makes the NCAA tournament, for instance, so exciting, right? Is because a 16 seed can lose to can beat a one seed, right? Like, that's what makes it super exciting. So not concerning from this particular game perspective, but something you said on Blue Sky, and then I had to think about it and say, oh, you know, you're right. Do the Thunder need to get more shooting? And I think they do, right? Only because as a team, they only shoot 35% from three. And I know that's not a big part of their offense. They're a big dribble drive, pass out, right? And Chet's missing, and that matters, right? Because Chet's an elite three-point shooter. But you can never have enough shooting, right? So they can definitely go out and get more shooting. And they have the pieces and the assets to do it. So I think, look, when they go small, right? It's, I mean, the Bucks had Giannis and Brooke on the floor at the same time. And the tallest person I think the Thunder had was Shea. Was he 6'6", 6'5"? I mean,
like that, yeah, 6'6".
Right? So that's a problem. But even despite all that, Brian, they are maniacal defensively, get their hands in passing lanes, and they rotate well. Now, part of their issue tonight was that their team speed, which is so elite, there were moments in the game where it wasn't fully connected and elite, right? They were a little bit slow on their rotations, and that's what led to some easy dunks and some wide open shots. And the problem is that when you are not making shots on offense, even though you are super connected on defense like this team is, it gets harder and harder to play that elite defense because it bleeds over on that side of the court. It's like, man, we can't buy a shot. So you're still thinking about the missed shot, and you're half a beat slow on your rotation, right? And so these are the things that that plague them in this game. Do I think it's a problem overall? No. I think Mark Dagnall's an excellent coach. OKC's well-schooled and well-drilled. But I do think you see, and you saw tonight, the Chet absence, right, and what his ability to shoot threes and all that, what that created a problem for them. Isaiah Hartenstein was great in this game, particularly in the first half, not so much in the second, missing some of those shots, but still a good defender, good rebounder. They have a move to make. Now the question is Sam Presti going to do the move that he has to make, or is he going to keep selling the ownership on, nah, let's just be who we are, kick this down the curb, and, you know, I keep my job for another however many years, right? Because when you make that swing and that move and you get that piece, you are saying you're all in, right? And then if things don't work out, that's when things start getting a little hairy. People are like, well, what's happening? What's this? What's that? They just keep buying time with what they're doing and, you know, play it that way. We'll see.
A couple things here. One, on the three-point front, because that's the thing that stood out to me. It reminded me, this performance, of what I was seeing with them in the Dallas series, which is what we talked about a little bit before we got on here. In the conference semifinals, for people who may have forgotten, Oklahoma City shot about 34% from three in that series. This season, in the regular season, they're shooting about 35-ish percent.
35.9, something like that, yep.
Yeah, so 36 roughly, but 19th in the NBA in three-point percentage, even though they're top 10 in attempts, and in three-point attempt rate, they're in the top half of the league. So the volume is pretty much where you'd expect, but the percentage, like, there's a gap between the volume and the percentage, which means you need better shooters. Like, you're getting the shots, you're getting the looks, and ultimately they're not going to be a team that's going to shoot at the same rate as, say, Boston, for example. Nobody right, is, correct. But you get what I'm saying. Like, their process is a little bit different, and, you know, that's sort of taken after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is not somebody who's going to destroy you from three. Like, he has that capability here and there, but ultimately he does his work inside the paint and at the foul line, honestly.
Right.
So
yep.
To me, I was like, all right, we saw this for an entire playoff series. We saw it again in a big spot here. Don't want to overreact, but I do think this team needs shooting.
Yeah,
and shooting you could trust in the playoffs, which is going to be hard to find, because even if you do find it, like, one name that jumped out to my head, and I don't think this is going to happen because I don't think the other team would trade this player, even though I feel like they should be a little bit more open to it, but Duncan Robinson. The problem with that is Oklahoma City's defense will take a little bit of a hit.
Right.
As much as Duncan Robinson is going to compete, he's like, as soon as Dallas sees him, like, Luka's right. gonna figure out
how to, every time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Kyrie also, like, he's gonna have a giant bullseye. So then I was thinking about, all right, who are the two-way guys that you could potentially get? There are not a lot of them out there, honestly.
No.
And even if you wanted to go for like a Duncan Robinson, whose salary is $19 million, you're talking about like Isaiah Joe, Kenrich Williams, maybe you have to add like another minimum or something along those lines. And it's like, if you're OKC, do you really want to do that? Probably not.
And, you know, the other thing too, Brian, is that the free agent acquisition they made in the offseason to get Alex Caruso, right? He has not shot the ball
at all
at his career numbers, right? He's a career 37% three-point shooter, which is very good. Yeah. He's shooting 25% from three this year.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so, that's an improvement from where it was before.
Wish God. If he can get himself back up to near his career average, that will help lift the tides, right? So I think there are some shooters on this team who are underperforming their career averages, right? And so maybe Sam and Mark are like, look, we trust that our guys, we trust they put in the work, they'll get themselves back up to their average. That'll help them. Jalen Williams improves as a three-point shooter. You get SGA to take more threes because he's, again, as you said, very capable of making that shot. But yeah, look, you will never be wrong getting more shooting. But the point you made about their defense, again, when the Thunder put their guys on the floor, there is no one you're hunting on this team, right? Because everybody is so good. No hunting. So if you go out and get a Duncan Robinson, again, to your point, that limits your defense now. And now you have a target. So now it's, how do we compensate for that? How do we pre-switch to prevent them from getting at Duncan, right? Like, and it's this chess game you have to play back and forth. So I imagine Mark is having these conversations with Sam, like where he's like, look, I'm down for more shooting, but I don't want someone we have to hide that we don't trust on defense.
And Thunder fans, I'm not saying trade for Duncan Robinson. I'm not saying that at all. But I just a name, like, yeah. I do wonder, can you get a shooter? And this is not in the case of Duncan, but like, can you get a shooter who won't get hunted on every offensive possession? Especially because, like, look at the teams you're going to be playing against in the playoffs. Like Dallas, it's not a small probability that you're going to meet Dallas again in the playoffs. So this could actually be the Western Conference Finals this time. So I think Oklahoma City, as presently constructed, can still win the Western Conference, by the way.
For sure.
The thing is, like, you want to have a higher floor as it pertains to shooting from the perimeter and making those three-point shots. And that's the thing. That's the thing that we're sort of looking at here. Okay. Let's get to this one question that we actually have from TJ. Thank you, TJ, for comment. Which guys do you think should trade for Jimmy Butler? We're not going to spend too much time on this because we want to talk about the NBA Cup. I can do a whole video on this.
Right. Look, Jimmy's expensive. Is that contract expiring?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the one good news. Look,
There's one team to me. Just one.
Who do you think? Golden State?
Yeah, Golden State. Yes.
Yeah.
Because Dallas doesn't have the pieces.
Right.
Houston, I don't think, needs to rush their timeline. I think they're fine where they are. Get into the
What's the salary match coming back from Golden State?
Well, you're going to need Wiggins. You're going to need Kuminga. I would have said the Anthony Melton, but that's already out the door.
Right.
You know, Kuminga's absolutely going to be, he would be in that deal because, I mean, it looks like that's where this is headed anyway with Golden State. But, I mean, Wiggins is a 26, right. And you're obviously not trading Draymond Green.
No.
Because the whole thing is like, you know, Jimmy and Draymond would be kindred spirits and play around Steph, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And Jimmy's contract, by the way, it's expiring. He does have a player option for next year. But, I mean, it's in his best interest for the time being, at least, to try to get one last extension before his career is up. The cap hit right now is at $49 million about, and the player options for 52.4. So Golden State, I mean, 49, you got to get to. Wiggins is 26, and you have...
Wiggins is what, like 8?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Yeah. I mean, with Melton, it was easier. Now that that's Schroeder, I mean, unless you kind of want to be grimy and like right before the deadline when Schroeder's trade eligible again, I think it's the day before, I heard.
But then
it's like, what's the point at that
point? What's the point? You know? And that hurts Golden State's depth. Steve's been playing with 11, 12 guys all season. You're going to gut all that depth to get Jimmy in, and then, God forbid, Jimmy, Draymond, or Steph, either one of them gets hurt. Season over.
That's like, the thing. It's just hard, TJ, to come up with, like, it's just hard to come up with a team just because of the number is so inflated. And there was, like, Dallas, I don't think, has enough.
No, Dallas is there. No.
And who's the Phoenix? Absolutely doesn't have, like, they have to. It has to be.
It'd be Beal. It'd have to be Beal. Which,
yeah.
And Bradley's a no trade. So
Pat Riley's already passed on him. So
right. So
I don't, for those reasons, I don't think Jimmy for now is going anywhere. I legitimately do think he wants to extend there. It's just they disagree on value. Like, Jimmy wants one thing, and the Heat are like, I don't know about all that.
Let's listen. They're being smart, man. Jimmy's great. I have no issues with Jimmy, but like, I'm not. If I'm the Heat, I'm not paying $40 million for a 35-year-old guy who plays, what, 50 games a year? No.
And plays hard on the floor. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No. That's just bad business. Like, that's just bad business.
Yeah. But I think Golden State is the best fit, so to speak. Like, I think him with Steph and Draymond could actually be pretty nasty in that complimentary second star role next to Steph Curry. Like, that'd be cool. For the final act of Steph's career to just run with Jimmy, I think that'd be interesting. I don't know if they'd win the West or anything.
But yeah, I mean, and Jimmy playing in that offense, it's a very different offense than Jimmy's used to playing in, right? A lot of off-ball movement, read, react.
Which he can do. He can cut.
He can do, no doubt.
You know, he can be a cutter and things of that nature. Okay, NBA Cup. What makes the NBA Cup work? What needs improvements? And we'll get into why people aren't Not everyone's feeling this and it's kind of divisive. Me and Gerard like it. Gerard and I like
it.
We watch, again, international stuff. There are Super Cups worldwide that do this all the time in the regular season, in basketball, in soccer, in other sports and things of that nature. Why do people like us like this tournament? Like, I mean, why should more people like this tournament might be the better question.
Well, Brian, because we like basketball at the end of the day. Like, that's what it comes down to.
Basketball with stakes. I think that's the important part.
We love basketball. Like, that's the point. And I think, you know, people who were complaining, whatever, it's like they're just finding things to get upset about. And it's like, I don't care that the courts look stupid. Like, I don't care about that. Like, I don't care. I just don't. Like, there are literally people on social media the entire game complaining about what the court looks like. I'm like, are you watching the game?
I have a couple of tweets about how distracting the piss yellow Lakers court was. You know, but that's what that's about.
Ultimately, for me, it's like, what are these? And I know you agree with this, Brian. We saw great play in the group stage games and in the single elimination. You know, the title game notwithstanding. And again, had Oklahoma City just been an average shooting team, not even because they were well below average. If they were an average shooting team tonight, this would have been a higher six game late, you know, couple possession game late in the fourth. Right. And I think to your point, stakes. That's what we can.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are stakes that matter. And I think the problem with the NBA, is the season's too long. We don't have stakes that matter until the end of the season, right? Until April is when the first games that matter. And now we have in December games that, and you could tell these guys care. They're pissed. When the Warriors were livid that they didn't make it to the knockout round. Yeah. Like, they care. These teams care. And I love it.
So, okay, stakes. Let's talk about this real quick. There are people, I know who I've spoken to who don't feel like there are stakes, like actual stakes here. Like, yes, it's tournament, but what's it all for? Is it just prize money or whatever, whatever? And I'm like,
it's a trophy. What do you mean?
It's a trophy. But we watch these other things, and it's like, listen, there are tournaments like in the Philippines, for example, they have like a Commissioner's Cup. The WNBA obviously has a Commissioner's Cup. There's a Copa del Rey in Spain. There's all these different tournaments across soccer and international basketball leagues, like in Europe and Asia and Africa and things of that nature. I believe the Basketball Africa League has their own play-in tournament, I think. But like, these are in all these different leagues during the season, before the season, whatever the case may be. And to me, there are stakes because ultimately, what do these guys play basketball for? Money and competition. Like, the tournament, I
mean, what are we talking about?
The tournament provides both things, and also it does legitimately, like, it does add intrigue to the regular season.
I think
one of the only things that I would sort of fix, and maybe I'm jumping ahead here, or maybe not, because after all, what needs improvements is right here on the bottom. But one of the things that I would say is, like, I think this should actually be closer to Christmas. I think this should end right before Christmas. Because if Christmas is the day that people start to lock into the NBA, like, for real, for real, then I think this should end, like, the championship in Vegas or whatever, should end, like, December 22nd, December 21st, whatever, like, right before. And then after that, it's like, okay, leads right into Christmas, boom, boom, boom. So then it would start a couple weeks after it does. Maybe it starts like, maybe the run time for the tournament is it starts like Black Friday, which is another like signature NBA day where teams play in the afternoon. Everybody plays because there aren't Thanksgiving games like that,
right?
Really at all. And then you go from basically Black Friday through there. And also, like, I do think they can make it easier to follow in terms of like, hey, and I've heard this suggested too, so I'm not creating this. So shout out to whoever came up with it, because I'm forgetting right now. And it's also been multiple people. Just make the groups of divisions. Like, if we still have divisions, it's like, okay, use it for that. And then ultimately, I think, you know, the whole goal is to get to the final, you know, get to the knockout stage, which should be 8 in the East, 8 in the West, and then single elimination till we get to a winner. Like, I think just instead of just mixing it up, just do it with the divisional teams. If the because what are we using divisions for otherwise, other than like gambling? What are the divisions for? I mean,
it's just stupid stuff because we've always done it this way, and you know it's the worst fucking phrase in all of anything.
Before, when you were a division winner, you were locked into like you know top four or whatever it was. Right. Now even that's like not that really a matter. Thing. Yeah.
Look, we like this, Brian. Again, as you mentioned, we watch other sports. I love if I'm a fan of a team, I love the fact that my team has a chance to win multiple titles in one year. I love that, right? That's one of the great things about football or soccer, as it's called here in the States, right? If you root for Premier League team, you can win the Premier Championship, right? The Premier League title, right? For being the best team in the season. You can win the FA Cup. You can win the Caribou Cup. You can win Champions League, right? Mm-hmm. You have four things that you can try to win. Four. In the NBA, you have one. Oh, not two. But it used to be forever just one. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that there's now a second thing a team can win, especially because you have teams that are different stages. There are teams like the Bucks, like the Suns, like these teams that are old and veteran, and their goal is we're all in. We're trying to win a championship. It's like, all right, well, good luck, you know? But meanwhile, last year, you can't tell me Indiana getting to the finals last year against the Lakers did not help buoy them as they went on their run to the conference finals and the playoffs, right? And I think that's what I love about it, is that it gives teams a chance to play games with stakes. Yes, they care about the regular season, but look, a Tuesday night in Detroit, you know, a Thursday in Charlotte, you're like, meh, you know?
Yeah.
But we're going to Vegas, and it's like, no. If we win this, yes, we get $500K. We get this, we get that. Like, it's all that. Like, and so don't make any mistake about it, TJ. Players play for winning. These guys are the most competitive people in the world.
They fight over
everything. Who's the first to get to practice? Who's the first to tie their shoe and get out of the locker room? I mean,
women.
They're just obviously that. They compete over literally everything. That's how they're wired. They are psychopaths in that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, they definitely want to think about it. Most of these guys have been playing for trophies their whole lives since they were like four. That's all they do is play to win trophies, right? Yeah. Like, and then it became money and stuff as they got older, but that's what they play to win for. So yeah, I love it. I think it's great. We can make some tweaks to it, but ultimately I think it's the way to go. Look, you know what I think, Brian. Shorten the regular season. That way you give the regular season meaning. The reason why it works in soccer is because those leagues, you know, you play each team in your league twice, right? Once home, once away, right? So winning the league matters. It has value. In the NBA, winning the regular season means nothing. Nobody cares. Oh, you are the best team in the regular season. Okay, great. Did you win the title? Like that's all people care about. Did you win the title? No. How'd the regular season matter? That's one. NBA Cup, two. NBA Championship, three. Like, and you know what I'd love to see one day, a true Champions League where we have like, you know, a G League, NBA, whatever, and we do this knockout single elimination, yes. And the Euro League, all that. Will an NBA team win most of the time? Probably, but there will be that time where they lose, and that will be huge.
Huge. I hope that does happen. And here's the thing, like you already spoke about this from a soccer perspective, but like in basketball, it's the same thing. Like these top teams in Europe play in multiple leagues. Like they play in their own domestic league, then they'll play in Euro League or Euro Cup. If you're, for example, if you're one of the best teams in Serbia, you'll play in the Serbian League, you may play in Euro League, and you might also play in the Super League. Like there's all these different things. There's the Adriatic League that's out there too. Like there are all these different sort of ways to win titles and compete for titles. And it especially works in other countries because there are some leagues, and Serbia is probably one of these examples, but there are these leagues where like only one of a few teams, like there's not a lot of parity. The NBA actually has parity now compared to before. But I think like if the NBA Cup was around when the Warriors dynasty was actually like at its peak, both pre-Kevin Durant and during Kevin Durant, like especially during Kevin Durant, I think this would have had an even more significant meaning because it would have been like, okay, we know the Warriors and the Cavs are going to be in the finals, but everyone else could compete for this. And
but if you're the Warriors and the Cavs, do you go for the treble? We're going to win the league. We're going to win the NBA Cup and we're going to win the
NBA title. Right.
you go for it all. Like, why not?
I think ultimately, like, it's competition, it's money. It adds intrigue to the regular season at a time where, like, this could be the worst time to sometimes watch it if you're just an average consumer, right? If you're not like super, super locked into like Isaiah Joe possessions or whatever. And you don't have to be. you consume it the way you want. But I'm saying, like, this adds intrigue. And also from a betting perspective, like, you can bet on these things. Like, you can bet on who's going to win this group, who's going to win that group, who's going to win MVP, all these different things. And I think it provides a lot of opportunity in that regard. But to me, ultimately, I feel like the conversations I've had with people, their sort of disconnect is like, why does this matter? Whatever, whatever. And I feel like it's an Americanized way of thinking, right? It's because they're just not used to it. They're conditioned to be like, hey, I grew up and it was just the NBA championship. All I care about, and you've mentioned this before, it's kind of like rings culture where people are like, hey, I only care about this. But it's like, we grew up with that mentality here. Whereas if you do watch other leagues and pay attention to other leagues and follow other leagues, even loosely, even a little bit, right? Then you can see, like, oh, okay, and soccer especially, you could see, oh, okay, like, there are multiple opportunities to win and it wouldn't be as foreign of a concept. I just think people in America, people here, just have to get used to the concept of, hey, this thing matters. And I think we need, because we've done this twice already, let's see 3 more years. And after a 5-year period, let's see how it resonates, if it resonates, but also let's see how impactful it could be for the teams who make it to Vegas, for example, the teams who make it far, the teams who win it, because the Lakers won it last year and flamed out. What if the Bucks actually go on a run to the Eastern Conference Finals and challenge the Celtics in the first of 6, you know?
You know, you mentioned, Brian, you know, for things to matter. Things matter when we say they matter, right? Like,
I get the point.
Things matter when we decide they matter. That's all. Yeah. People just need to get out of their own heads and stop being stupid and be like, yo, it's competition. It's a title. It matters. Yes, it's not the NBA title. It's like, say, same thing in, like, in soccer, right? Just go back to that sport. The things all rank differently depending on who the club is, right? Now, for the football club that I root for, Real Madrid, for them, Champions League is the most important of all the titles.
Yes.
Then it's the league. Then it's Copa del Rey. Then it's Super Cup, right?
Same thing for the top basketball teams in Europe. They want to win if you're in EuroLeague, if you're in EuroLeague or EuroCup, because it's not the same thing. People think this is, if you're in EuroLeague, you want to win EuroLeague. You want to win your domestic league too. But EuroLeague is like the best teams in all of Europe. Same thing in the EuroCup. It's like the second tier, but it's still many of the best teams in EuroCup. In Europe are in the Euro Cup. You want to win that before you win your domestic league. You want to win both, but that's top priority because it's more international, so to speak.
And that's for the top teams, right? But for other teams, it's no. They want to win Copa del Rey, right? That's the most important thing to them, right? And so it's wherever your team is, the trophies have and the tournaments have what matters to them, right? And so everything matters. It's just who's playing for what. And look, and the great teams go, no, we're just going to take them all. We're going for trouble. We're going for the quadruple. We're going for the septuple. We're going to win every possible title there is to win. Great, right? I just think that we need to, again, get out of this, like, American mindset of only the NBA championship matters. Like, guys, like, by that statement, literally only one team is successful every year. To me, that's whack, right? Like, a team can have a great year, right, and they win the NBA Cup, and let's say that, you know, What if Detroit had gotten to, like, Vegas? Not won it, but, like, gotten to the semifinals. How huge is that for a team like Detroit? Major. So, by the way, it matters.
By the way, I think it's big for Houston that they got to the Final Four.
100%.
Like, because Houston is a team where they're ahead of schedule. I'm still like, are they a contender? Like, nah, they can't, because, you know,
defensively they are. But their defense is good enough.
They're this year's Orlando Magic in some respects.
I mean, I think Orlando's this year's Orlando Magic. That's so
yeah, despite being shorthanded. And like, I think that was big for them. And I felt like, man, if they beat OKC, oh my goodness, like, who knows what could happen here. And then in the Eastern Conference, obviously Milwaukee kind of reminding us, like, hey, we can still be one of the top teams, so to speak, is probably like a takeaway that I would have from that. That's not insignificant. Sure. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, I'm with you there. Look, again, I think that fans need to just, like, get over yourself, right? No, but seriously, like, at the end of the day, this is sports. Like, it is not world like issues. Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah, we're gonna have plenty of those next year.
I mean, correct. It's an opportunity to win another title. Okay,
right.
Rank it hard. Yes, of course, the NBA Larry O'Brien Trophy is the most important. But yeah, this one matters too. That's all. Like, it's fine. Yeah.
And also I do want to shout out the Hawks because they made it to the Final Four.
And you know what's interesting about the Hawks, Brian? Mm-hmm. We talked about this on the podcast, David and I, this week. The Hawks are going to kind of kick themselves and be like, man, we missed a golden opportunity because the Bucks were not great in that game. The Hawks could have beaten them. And I just feel like they didn't have the requisite urgency they needed late in that game to win. Unlike the Bucks, who came out tonight in the championship game, had the record. They played like their hair was on fire. And I feel like Atlanta, and again, so maybe that's you need reference points and learning points. Maybe they look back and they say, ah, we did not take each possession as seriously as we should have, right? Yeah. And because again, it's all about build, because ultimately you want teams to be good, right? And you want them to understand what it takes to win. This tournament allows them to understand, oh, we measured ourselves. Mm-hmm. This ain't just some Tuesday night in wherever. No, Giannis came to play late in that game, and we did not match that. Okay, we got to be better.
Yeah, we'll see how the Bucks, Hawks, Thunder, and Rockets produce to end the year. We already talked about basically why this hasn't really caught on in our opinions. You feel like it's just this mindset of people just have to get used to it. And look, they could accept it or don't. But I also think like it's new and kind of like the play-in. I feel like more people are probably in on the play-in now.
People hated the play-in. Now they love it.
Like, there are some people who still do, but I like the play-in a lot. And that, by the way, another thing it's pretty internationally, like it's not only international, but like that's done in a lot of other tournaments. There are play-in tournaments. We've been seeing this with the NCAA tournament forever, you know, so that's another thing there. Just last thing though, on the cup, and really before we get out of here, what is the biggest thing that you think should be improved, you know, probably before the next few? Is it marketing? Is it, you know, just the tournament itself, formatting, or whatever the case may be? Because I've already talked about this.
You know what's so funny, Brian? I feel like everybody's like, oh my God, it's so complicated to understand. I go, what is complicated about it? There is nothing complicated. You're in a group. You got to win every game in your group by as many points as possible. Period. The end. Like, what is this? Like, oh, I don't understand. What do you mean you don't understand? Like, I just, like, that drives me nuts. I'm like, and you know it's an NBA Cup game because all you people like to complain, the court looks different. So that's how you know it's an NBA Cup game. Oh, why does that court look crazy? And there's a big trophy in the middle because it's a cup game tonight, right? They got the crazy jerseys on tonight. Yeah, it's a cup game. So this idea of people not knowing, just watch. It's a cup game, right? The court looks crazy because it's a cup game.
Right.
Now, the challenge they have is the Vegas of it all. And I know why the reasons are they're in Vegas. One, they want to go to a warm weather place. Two, as people who may know this, NBA players have to pay taxes in every city that they play in, right? Yeah. That's how that works.
Yeah.
If you notice why boxing fights are always in Vegas, there are tax reasons why.
Well, now there a lot of them are in Saudi Arabia, but there are other reasons why.
That's a whole other reason for that, which we will not get into tonight. But I have much to say about that. And so that's why Vegas is a popular spot and is agreed upon by the Players Association. And look, most of these teams play in cold weather places. They want to be somewhere warm for a few days and get away. And also all the extracurricular activities that we know.
You know me well enough to know I would go there, but I was just going to bring up, hey, expansion. I mean.
Yes, that's obviously.
Vegas is going to be likely.
And the infrastructure is there, right? We play summer league there, all the things, blah, blah, blah. But, and this is the challenge I think it's going to have no matter where you go, Brian. You have 48 hours to know who's going to be where. That's not enough time for most average fans who want to buy tickets and go whatever to plan.
Right.
But the hope is that people who love basketball enough and just decide, I'm just going to buy tickets for the semifinals and finals. I don't care who's there because I love basketball, right? It's like a Super Bowl. People beyond all the corporate money that gets all the most of the seats.
Of course.
People who... They buy it ahead in advance. They don't care what teams are going to be there because they just want to go to the
WrestleMania.
Super Bowl.
Yep.
Right? We don't know what the main event's going to be. I just buy because I want to go.
Yes.
That's the hope. If you love basketball, then just go. You're going to get, again, this game notwithstanding, the two semifinal games were super competitive, right? Like, and this first half, 1 point, it was very competitive, right? So I think it's just a matter of people caring. Now, I know there's been some talk floated around about maybe giving the top team at their home court that way, you know, whatever. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to that because that's how Champions League works, right? So you play the final is always played at a neutral site, but the knockout rounds are played home and away at each stadium. Now, it's not a two-legged tie in basketball, single elimination. So the higher seed in whatever game, fine, give them the home game. I don't care. Like, that's fine by me. If you think that'll make it better, cool. Like, but I just think that when people care about it, if you love basketball, who do you care who's going to be there? You're watching two NBA teams competing for a title. What do you care who's it is? You know?
I kind of want point differential, though, to be like part of the NBA. Like, not just the cup, but like, because again, this comes from, like, this is a thing in soccer. This is also a thing in international basketball where the point differential in these tournaments matter. It matters in FIBA. It matters in the Olympics. It matters in the World Cup, the America Cup, Asia Basket, Afro Basket, or the Asia Cup, Afro Basket, you know, Euro Basket. It matters in these tournaments, ultimately, for qualification and all these different things.
And, all those people, Brian, who were like, sportsmanship. I'm like, yep. Listen, man, if you don't like getting scored on, then play better D. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
I like watching games. I enjoy this even with Olympic qualifiers where they know, like, all right, we need to win by 11 in order for us to have, like, a stranglehold on this position before we move on, whatever the case may be.
Keep firing.
Yes.
Keep firing.
And you keep the best guys out there. You get to see the best players play for longer. And I know people are going to be like, oh, they might get hurt, whatever. When it's like, all right, well, don't play 82-game regular seasons.
I mean, listen, that's just the
only league
takeaway.
The only league in the world that has that long of a regular season. Even the best teams in Europe, they do not play 82 games, even including playoffs.
Because it's madness. It is madness. Nobody wants to play. The players don't want to play that much basketball. They will tell you they cannot wait for the All-Star break to come. Half of them hope they don't even make it to All-Star. They're like, we just want to go away for a week.
Yeah, that's very true. That's Gerard Hector, True Hoop Podcast. Also follow him on Blue Sky. Follow me on Blue Sky as well. I'm been skeeting more, I guess is what it's called.
Been
posting there more work stuff and everything. Back with more on the channel very soon. And in case you missed it, Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk preview. That is up. Both previews are up. So that's up on the channel. And thank you for watching. Thanks for the support. Channel is growing. So do continue to provide that watch time. And we will check in again very soon. Follow Gerard. Follow me. And peace. Good night.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.